You're listening to Spring Trading Tuesday on ESPN Chicago.
Thank you for listening and calling and participating in today's show. It was fun wrapping up spring trading. Thanks to Old Smokey over there, Justin Pottinger and Tyler Rocky.
Old Smokey.
Old Smokey. Thanks to Michael Wilbon for joining us. And to put the finishing touches on this year, this month, this year's rendition of spring trading, it's Black and Pat, the designer.
What's up, guys?
Boys?
Wilbon, very excited that the lakefront is the destination for the Bears to put this new stadium.
We'll see. I still don't believe it's a done deal.
You think this is a power move?
No, but I'll believe it when this city can come up with that kind of money.
Well, yeah. And the other thing that I noticed over the weekend was the infrastructure that they want to put around and what they want to do with Lakeshore Drive. I mean, that's not going to be done for like 15 years. No.
Correct.
Ooh. And they want to connect Columbus to the drive around Soldier Field and go underneath Lakeshore Drive.
And you're telling me how are you going to do that? Friends of the Park is cool with all this.
Right.
Wait. They want to...
The article from the weekend...
Are they going to move Lakeshore Drive again? See, I didn't know this.
The article from the weekend is that along Soldier Field in that spot where the new stadium will go... They will remove the ramps, the entrance and the exit ramps.
All right.
And so you have to get on from a different location, and they want Columbus to go underneath Lakeshore Drive.
Wow.
Because now to connect to Columbus, you have to there's a stop light, and you have to cross over, and traffic stops and the whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah. That's like, what the article on, I think it was the Sun-Times on Saturday morning had.
We're digging underground.
That's the most Chicago thing ever, though, right? When you just sit there and go, what's with the traffic?
Well,
how's the traffic going to be affected?
You guys know how this is. Road construction in this city takes way longer than ever expected.
Oh, God, I'm dealing with it every day now.
Yeah, on the Edens, it's a nightmare. On the Kennedy,
Think about how long the Circle project
took. Yeah, the Circle interchange took, 15 years over the expected amount of time?
It took forever. Now, COVID
expedited a little because of the Bears.
No.
Oh, God, during COVID, it was the only good thing coming in.
Yeah.
COVID slowed it down 20 minutes.
Yeah,
normally,
I mean,
it 45.
Well, that's true, but it slowed down some of the progress, but the Circle took way longer than expected,
past what they said it would take. It wasn't it like 10 years?
It might have been. It took forever. It took forever. It was brutal.
Speaking of COVID, Carm, what are you doing there?
Kevin Zipak
last week, Kevin Zipak, who works here at the station, he has COVID-19. And then he's trying to make us feel bad because we didn't reach out.
We haven't used the number in so long.
You give it the 19?
Well,
did he have the coronavirus?
Yeah, he had the coronavirus. And Carm's out here reaching out, making sure he's okay. It's a common thing.
Well, now it's
not. And Kevin's 4 years late trying to make us feel bad that we're not asking him if he's okay.
Well, that's the problem. It's not like I said to everybody, hey, did you guys reach out to Kevin? All I did was text Kevin last week. I worked with him the day before. I said, oh, that sucks.
So was it a group text where you made everyone else feel bad?
It was a separate reach out.
Was it a little like, hey, how bad is it?
No. We worked together the day before. I said, COVID? ? I said, that sucks. How you feeling? He responded a little while later. He goes, not too bad. I'll live. And that was it. That was the end of our conversation. Yeah.
That was it.
If you had done a group text where, hey, we all want to know, or I'm curious. I'm sure the other guys want to check in.
Why would I do that?
I mean, the single text, I got no issue with.
No, see, I feel like this was more of a, Carm said he works with them the day before. That's a whole new wrinkle now. That's like, hey, you good? Because if you're bad, I need to go get checked out real quick.
I've had COVID twice. I ran the day I tested COVID positive in like November 2021. I ran 4.5 miles that day. What are we talking about?
Once and I got crushed.
I was down bad. I could not get up off the couch.
You know, and then Z-Pac texts a bunch of us here at the station. Carm reached out more than I can say for the rest of you.
Wow.
Like, what is that?
That's egregious.
And I said, blank that. You don't get a reach out for COVID. You don't. Yeah. 4 years now, late, if you don't reach out.
Wow, Z-Pac's super
sick. That's different.
I can't believe that he sent that to you guys.
He should have reached out to me for taking his shift the next day.
Exactly.
Do you see that Jake Cantu picks up the shift, So we're good at the station. No reach out from Kevin to say, hey, thanks for working my shift.
Unbelievable.
No was reach it, out.
Wasn't here's the there materials you need. Here's, you know, thanks for doing this. Here's a contact. Nothing. I have to find it myself.
Station troll.
You said
he's the station troll, and we have all paid the troll toll.
Wow.
He's the station
You said he went to Raw last night, right? And you were like, hey, man, how about a t-shirt? And he's like, oh, they're all sold out.
The last time I check in on Kevin, I'll tell you that. He's making you guys feel guilty.
Yeah, Kevin was the one way out of line.
Yes,
right?
Of course.
It's outstanding.
Like, I think it was cool what Carm did.
Unbelievable.
It's great.
Jake was the one who told me because Kevin was supposed to be with me and you last Thursday. Wednesday night, Jake goes, hey, by the way, Kevin's got COVID. I'm going to be with you guys tomorrow. I said, okay, great. And then I was just like, I'll check in and make sure Kevin's okay. I said, I heard you got COVID. You all right? That's the last time I texted him for anything.
I never got that text that he had COVID.
You never had the courtesy.
Well, that's the only reason I know, because Jake wanted to let me know. He goes, hey, it'll be me with you guys tomorrow. He goes, because Kevin's got COVID. He goes, I'll meet you in Elmwood Park.
Pat knows someone who has COVID. And
did you text them?
Yeah, no, not at all.
See,
here's the thing. No, my producer on the show, shout out to Joe Holt, it ended up going down with a little bit of COVID, right?
Just a little.
And he literally was just like, he reached out to me and he's like, I'm not going to be on the show this week because I have COVID. And I was like, cool.
Oh, you didn't even say how you doing?
That was the response. It was cool. Well, at this point, if you're texting me and you're not like, hey, I'm in the hospital, you're good.
Well, you can at least be like, you guys are harsh.
What am I sending? What am I doing? Sending them flowers?
No! You say, are you all right?
I said, am I ordering them a nice soup?
Oh, my God. I hope.
Are you doing okay?
Am I getting them a soup at the sky after? Like, what am I doing here?
I hope I don't need you guys for it. I'm never going to expect. If I'm in the hospital, I'm never going to hear from you guys.
Kim Mulkey over here.
Yeah, right.
It's just different. You know what I mean? It's just different. We were having that conversation upstairs about how, like, you can go the entire day talking with your friends, and like as men, we'll come home and be like, "Yeah, everybody's alive, everybody's good, we're good."
True. No information.
And like my wife will be
no
like,
information.
"Did you find out about what's happening here, and here?" And I was like, "It never even came up.
No,
I never even noticed we needed to talk
it
about
you know, this, like, this date's coming up. Did you find out about? No, we didn't. What did you guys talk about for 8 hours on the golf course?
Golf
shots.
And what do you say? Like
the golf shots.
I am like, I don't know, like. Sports,
the golf.
Right?
Did you ask about it?
No. Like, no, it never came up.
The last time it happened, I had to go through a play-by-play on how we accomplished 8 hours of golfing together without talking about anything real.
Yes,
I was like, "Well, this is how it happens. We walk up to the tee box and we review the last hole, and then after our first shots, you get to your ball and you say, what's the distance?
Yeah.
And you discuss the distance, you get to the green, and then you all kind of talk about each other putting and this, that, and the other. And then guess what happens after that? The next hole. And we go to the next hole, and then we recap the last hole, and that's it. That's what we talk about the entire
time.
Two
up.
Yeah. Two up, okay, you three putt there, okay, black out of bounds, okay, you know, like that's...
Hey, can I get a beer?
Hey, like, yeah, you know, cart girl comes by, okay, all right, where are we at? Oh, who's up? Okay, here... That's what we talk about for 8 hours. We don't accomplish anything else.
No, I'll argue it's better because I don't know enough to like lose you as a friend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I've watched my wife lose a lot of friends over the years just like
the
knowing
gossip.
Too much. Yeah, yeah. I mean, a little too much.
What gossip do you have?
I don't know. Oh, is that a problem?
We talk sports.
Ruins the relationship. I'm like, I don't want to know. We don't gossip. I'm like, I don't know.
No, we talk golf. Tim was playing well, and you know, I hit a couple out of bounds. I don't have anything else
the last time we were in Vegas.
All the kids still alive. You know what I mean? That's the goal. I got all the news I need.
Talked about what the Bears should do at 9.
It's great.
Started naming 2,000 shooting guards?
Absolutely.
I have done that. Yeah. I've absolutely done that.
100%. You didn't have one real conversation? No.
No.
Not one.
We did talk about who the backup center was on the 05 Illinois team for about 25 minutes.
How are his kids doing?
I have no idea.
Not the backup center.
No idea.
Was Robert Archibald the starting center, or was he before that?
Right.
Was Archibald the starting center in 05?
Yes.
Was he?
Yeah.
The backup center. I'll never even get it. I have no idea. Are you sure was Archibald on that 05 team, or was he on like those late 90s, early 2000s teams?
I don't think so.
And see, this is literally the conversation we're having here.
And if we were on the tee box, I would walk off and I would tee up.
Was Archibald on that team?
No, wasn't it James Augustine?
James Augustine was starting.
Attaboy, Tyler. See, James Augustine.
Good pull there, Tyler.
Nice job.
Let's see, they started Luther Head.
Three guards.
Luther Head, D. Brown, Darren Williams.
Augustine. And then who was the fourth?
They had Calvin Brock from Simeon. They had Rich McBride. They had James Augustine. Warren Carter.
Warren Carter.
Brian Randall. Roger Powell.
Roger Powell played a lot on that team.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Good old Roger Powell. He played a lot on that team.
And 6'10", Jack Ingram. No. And Sean Pruitt from Aurora West.
Jack Ingram didn't get a lot of run.
This is what we do.
So wait, what? Who did you mention?
Archibald. He was on like the early 2000s, like the Bill Self teams.
Yeah.
Robert Archibald was on those teams.
Yeah. Not the team that made the run.
No, this is how guy friendships last, by the way. Exactly. We just gave you an example.
Crosstalk brought to you by Sylvie's favorite, Steinhoffels.
And then Cap would tee up, and then boom. And then you would hit, and then we would go on to the next.
Whoa, Robert Archibald died?
No, did he?
What? Yes.
Why do we have to end on that?
All right, Cappy.
Jesus.
When did he die?
Why, 2020.
He died in 2020 at the age of 39.
Oh, that sucks. I didn't know that.
I hope someone reached out.
He was selected by the Grizzlies in the 02 NBA draft.
Too soon.
Good night, everybody.
All right. You guys
third
have a great show.
Second round.
See you tomorrow. Black and Pat are next.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bump, 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 bump.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.
I just want to say thank you all. And as always, f*** everybody else. I love y'all.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
It's Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 in the ESPN Chicago app. Pat the Designer is in for Adam Abdallah tonight as we're finishing up spring trading. Abdallah was on earlier today with Tom Waddle. You can check it out on the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. You can also check out the Chicago Bears podcast on the ESPN Chicago app and also on YouTube. That's the show that Pat hosts here at this radio station. He's with me for the next hour and a half. We're going to talk a lot of Bears football tonight, Pat.
I'm so excited. I mean, listen, anytime I get to come in and enjoy Bears football.
Well, yeah, it's great. And there's actually news today as well. First up is the Bears are going to play in the Hall of Fame game. They will face off against the Texans. August the 1st, Canton, Ohio, Hall of Fame game. Steve McMichael is going in. Devin Hester is going in. I claim Julius Peppers. I know that he's going to theoretically go in more as a Carolina Panther. Yeah. Spend time with the Packers as well. But Pep was good for the Bears for a period of time as well. So the Bears are going to play in the Hall of Fame game. That news broke earlier today. The Bears will get an extra week of prep. And that's the thing that I look at is that this entire offseason, the Bears have been the number one story. What they're going to do with the quarterback position. Will they trade Justin Fields? They traded Justin Fields. What will they do with the number one pick? They're going to take Caleb Williams. All of this conversation will lead into the summer where the Bears are going to get things kicked off with the Hall of Fame game. And that to me is pretty exciting.
It's the season of Bears, though. Like, this is literally what we're heading towards. I'm very excited about, you know, the fact that the Bears get to start things off in the Hall of Fame game with a rookie quarterback. You get to do a little bit more. I'm hoping that we take preseason a little bit more serious here this year than we did in the previous year. Because, listen, I'm tired of starting off seasons with the first four games of the season, you're trying to figure out what the heck's going on. And especially with a young guy in place, with the amount of young guys you're going to have in place trying to figure out this offense this year, I would hope that we're getting things hitting the ground running in that Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, and I think what is going to be obviously a talking point, right, is with a new quarterback, a new offense, how much playing time will be had in that Hall of Fame game. Yeah. We know how it goes in the preseason. Very limited amount of live snaps for the starting players, especially a starting rookie quarterback. I think that's something that we've kind of seen in this town the last couple of go-rounds with Mitchell Trubisky and Justin Fields. There are two schools of thought. People thinking that the the preseason games don't really matter.
Right.
And then there are people who think that you need to soak up every piece of experience before you get to the regular season as possible. And I think that's something that will dominate a lot of our conversations in the summer, is like, as we ramp up towards August 1st, how much will we see of that rookie quarterback? How much will we see of this offense? And the fact that, you know, it's a preseason game. It really doesn't matter. It's going to be cool as hell watching a new quarterback roll out there, though, for the first snap in a Bears uniform.
No, yeah, and I think that's it's the excitement around all of it, right? The Hall of Fame game, for the most part, you're just going into that and you're saying, all right, listen, we know what the Hall of Fame is. We know how important that part of it is. That's what dominates the conversation. It's going to be about Devin Hester. It's going to be about Mongo. It's going to be about Julius Peppers. But then there's also this game that happens around that, and there's a rookie quarterback who is arguably supposed to be one of the best talents we've seen in the last decade at quarterback. Those are the things that, you know, we're going to be dominating the storylines. And, I mean, by the end of the night, we're going to be at the midway point of the first quarter going, well, that was fun, boys. What a drive.
Right, and it's going to go to the positional battles. It's going to go to some of the rookies. And I know for, like, all of us who are – broadcasting around the Chicago Bears games, like, that's also going to be the first day where we have full programming here on ESPN 1000 with the pre-show. Abdallah and I will have, you'll be on after the post-game show afterwards. So, like, we have you covered here at ESPN 1000. And I know that there's going to be a lot of, like, specialized topics in positional battles to discuss. You know what's going to be, though. That day is going to be, welcome, Chicago Bears fans. You have your quarterback for the future. Let's see what Caleb Williams can do. That's that entire day. That's what the conversation is going to be. And I know leading into that game and in that week, obviously it being the Hall of Fame game and the Hall of Fame selections and being inducted that weekend are going to be a huge storyline as well, especially with Mongo going in. I mean, that's going to be so cool when we get to that point. So that was the news from earlier today. The Bears are going to play in the Hall of Fame game against the Texans the 1st of August, and it will be in Canton, Ohio. It should be great. And when you look at it also, a team with a rookie quarterback, you get a little bit more time to prep. And I think that's going to be notable as we go through the summer as well.
And I mean, listen, we know what the storyline is going to be. CJ Stroud getting any snaps in that one? You seeing any of that? You're going to get to see the new rookie versus the rookie that you could have had last year. If you wanted to take a quarterback early on, you end up letting him go by. He looks like he's a phenomenal player out there in Houston. They get to the playoffs first year. What is he going to look like in his first snaps of the season versus what Caleb Williams is going to look like? Now, none of it matters, right? None of it actually goes towards anything for the season, but we know what the storylines are going to be around, and it's going to make it an interesting week of radio for sure.
And I it's funny that you point that out, right? Like, that's the matchup. And Ryan Poles is on the record as saying, like, let's see how CJ Stroud pans out. Like, he's set his flag in the ground that he's not wrong at passing up on CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
Throughout this past season, I've pointed out that, the Bears have they have missed on CJ Stroud. It was a pick that they could have had, and they could have gone that direction. They decided not to. And they were still searching for a quarterback. That's going to be one of those moments, and throughout the regular season, where Poles is going to be able to look at everyone who said that type of thing and say, I had something else in my back pocket. Like that. That's where the gamble on waiting for a quarterback could ultimately play out for Bears fans, because there's no guarantee that Caleb Williams is going to be better than CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
But based on the talent and the hype going into the NFL, it is possible that that's the case. And I think that's where you go back to the conversation at the end of the season, and Ryan Poles being asked about CJ Stroud and him not agreeing with that assessment. He disagreed with it, saying that we'll see how CJ Stroud's career goes. I'm comfortable with where the Bears are at. And I think that's what's interesting. I think GMs sometimes are willing to, like, flip on their opinion after someone's shown it in the pros, and it feels like Poles is going the opposite direction.
I think there's also a lot of, I knew what my plan was coming into this. I knew, right? Like, if for us, we live in the, what are you going to do to make this team great right now? You would hope that your GM is living in, what am I going to do to make this team great for the next 10 years? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for me, I think that Ryan Poles probably did take a look at CJ Stroud, maybe not as deep of a look as we would like, but he also probably had his eye on the quarterback class that's coming here. You got to think, even if we don't go out and end up with the number one overall pick again, you probably were going to be set up because you knew how bad the Panthers were going to be for a top five pick. You'd still be in position to go get one of these quarterbacks, one of which is a Heisman winner this season, and the other one in Drake May, who's very highly regarded as a QB. So I think that you felt like the quarterback class coming up allowed you to take more chances last year. And for us last year, we're just thinking, what are you going to do to make this season a good season so that Justin Fields is still here?
Yeah, and I also think that Poles has done a good job of telling you exactly what he plans on doing. You know, like, we all watch the NFL, we read about it, and we try and think about, like, how will the teams respond? And it feels like this offseason, Ryan Poles is doing like the most obvious but smart decision possible. And what I mean by that is, to me, it's very obvious, and we were talking on the show the other night about this, that if you can build up your roster with a young rookie quarterback on that rookie contract, that's the easiest way to have prolonged success in the NFL, especially if you hit on that rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
And Poles, the other day when meeting the media, talked about that's something that you need to try and accomplish when building a team. And then you worry about fixing everything else if you have to pay the quarterback. But at that moment, if you pay the quarterback, he needs to be the guy. Poles is telling us that's exactly how we all talk to each other and we take phone calls and everyone says, hey, that's how the team should be built. Poles is telling you this is how you should build a team, like the Eagles, like the 49ers, the teams that have had a lot of success in recent years in the NFC. And so, like, it's refreshing that Poles knows, like, not that he didn't know this, but that this is what he's doing.
Yeah.
It's what we all hoped he would do.
And even having a willingness, right, to say, I'm just going to go out. Like, forget a team in Chicago. I don't think there's been a rookie quarterback this highly drafted that has come into a team this good. Usually teams this good are built for you to go out there and try and win championships. Now, this is all on paper, right? But usually you see these teams built for teams that are already in place. I think of Pat Mahomes coming in, right? He came into a team that was built for Alex Smith to go out there and try to win as many games as possible.
Yeah.
And he just made it that much better because he was that good of a player. Ryan Poles has built a special situation here in NFL history. And now you got to, on paper, it looks great. Now on the field, if you can make this hit, this will be huge. This will be huge for the development of a quarterback.
The thing about that I continue to think about is, you're right. You go back to when Andrew Luck was drafted by the Colts. That team wasn't the worst in the NFL. No. They had injury issues at quarterback with Peyton Manning. They're ready to move off. They were able to get that 1 year dip and then right back into competing and winning the division and going into the playoffs. Like, what it, but here's the difference. You mentioned Kansas City. They didn't have the number one pick. So, like, Kansas City didn't have to have a torn down roster to get to the quarterback. See what I'm saying? And so, honestly, the one team that, like, the only other thing that I can think of, and it's not a, I don't want to compare Caleb Williams to this Hall of Famer, but it reminds me a little of the San Antonio Spurs in 1997.
Getting Duncan.
David Robinson only played six games.
Yeah. Broke his leg.
So they go into a situation where they were a playoff team, because in 1996, the Spurs were a playoff team. They were a team that finished 59-23. The following year, David Robinson doesn't play. He plays six games. And then they are able to draft Tim Duncan the following year. Yeah. They go to the final. They win the final. Like that team was not your normal team picking number one overall. Right. And I think that's what's so interesting here. Teams that pick number one in the NFL usually don't have seven wins the year before.
No. The only quarterback that I can think of, and like you said, the Chiefs is different because Mahomes was 10. The only quarterback I can think of that came into this situation recent is Brock Purdy, and he was the last pick in the draft. And again, not a team that was built for him,
right,
but then a team that became successful because he was able to accentuate what they did well and didn't have to do too much. Like, you don't see this for a first overall pick in the draft. Like, this is an anomaly And so I look at the situation that Ryan Poles has put together. And yes, I was a Justin Fields. I wanted Justin Fields to stay. I thought he could have thrived with this team. But I can't be mad at Ryan Poles for moving off of Justin Fields, because you put a quarterback in the best position I've ever seen a quarterback come into. And you'll never hear me be upset about that here in Chicago.
Yeah, and they gave Fields every opportunity to succeed. He just is not what they're clearly looking to achieve more than what has been the norm in this city. It's refreshing as a Bears fan. And, you know, Ryan Poles has talked about it, that it's time to change the narrative when it comes to this franchise. And speaking of, Ryan Poles earlier today talked about something where there's been some negative conversation about what the Bears should do with the number one pick, and maybe players choosing to go elsewhere, dictating where they want to be. Ryan Poles had comments today about that, specifically for RG3. We'll play you that coming up next.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports. Follow the show on Twitter at Chris Black and at Adam A. Abdallah.
Abdallah's out. Pat the Designer is in.
Here.
The last night of spring trading here in the month of March on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Black, hanging out with you until 8 o'clock here on ESPN 1000. All right, so last week, RG3, trying to get clicks and views, posted a video suggesting that Caleb Williams should force a trade. And the hot lingo is to force an Eli Manning, because Eli forced a trade back in the day when he was drafted to get himself with the Giants before the draft back in the day. So RG3 thinks that Caleb Williams should do this, Pat. I think it's idiotic, because like what we just spent the last 15 minutes talking about, this Bears team is set up to win now, and it's quite possibly the best setup you could have as a rookie quarterback entering the NFL that we've seen in almost ever.
Yeah.
This is earlier today. Ryan Poles was on the Pat McAfee podcast talking about RG3's comments that Caleb Williams should force a trade and not go to the Chicago Bears. Here's Ryan Poles.
It pisses me off a little bit, to be honest with you, because we were hired to break a cycle. The same thing when I was in Kansas City. Coach Reed, all of us were brought there to break a cycle, and we did. And no one talks about those days anymore. It's all about what they are right now. So I really believe we're about to break this cycle and get this city in a really good situation and win a lot of games. So the past is the past. Like, I don't worry about that at all. It's about where we're going.
It pisses him off. It's Ryan Poles on the Pat McAfee show earlier today talking about RG3.
Listen, I get him, and I love it, because everything we're seeing is different. As Bears fans, and it's why I feel comfortable saying I'm fine with the Bears moving off of Justin Fields, because everything we're seeing is not what we've grown up with. It's not the Bears that we've watched, and I'm glad that it pisses him off, because he's sitting there trying to figure out, why am I still being held to previous standards that, let's be real about it, were led by pure incompetency at times, where go one regime back, where you sit there and say, hey, you wanted to go get Mitch Trubisky, but did you talk to the guy that won the national championship that was arguably against one of the defenses that, if you remember, they were saying, could they beat the Jacksonville Jaguars if they were in a game? We didn't even talk to that guy. Didn't even want to call him. Didn't pick up the phone. I'm watching Ryan Poles. He's not going to Drake May's pro day, because he probably doesn't believe Drake May's that guy, but he's sending a contingency. He's sending Kerry Joseph, the quarterback's coach. You want to know why? Because how'd they find Pat Mahomes? They sent Matt Nagy and were like, just go see what he looks like. We don't know. They weren't going quarterback in that draft. And then all of a sudden, Matt Nagy comes back and goes, no, we got to go quarterback. Go get this guy. You need to look at his tape.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's what Poole says there, it's true. They were brought in to change the way this is. And I think some people nationally, Pat, kind of look at the Chicago Bears picking number one overall.
Yeah.
And they just see the name, the logo, the number one pick. They assume trash team.
Yeah.
And if you followed the NFL last season, November and December, this team was a different team than what they were in September and October. And especially September. They were terrible. The 0-4 start.
Yeah.
It was brutal. But Matt Eberflus was able to get this thing back on track, and to get this team to buy in at the end of the season. And this is a team that's ascending. And I think that's the difference that maybe people who are in the national media, they don't take a... Because it's happened more than once. I know Colin Cowherd had a moment talking about how bad the team was. They have the number one pick. Caleb's going there. And then the whole Caleb Williams thing kind of bubbled up because it was the same thought process. Bad team at the top. They've always been bad. Don't go there. Quarterbacks go to die. Without realizing, well, that team finished 7-10.
Yeah.
And actually, in the last 2 months of the season, they were playing pretty good football, and they almost made a run at the playoffs. They didn't get there.
Yeah.
But they were respectable at the end of the season. And I don't think that's a local spin trying to put a positive on this. No team that is 7-10 is ever picking first overall in the NFL. So it's not something that takes place.
Yeah.
And I don't think people necessarily connect that at the national level. And so Ryan Poles is brought in to change this, and he is in the middle of changing this. And I think I understand why he's annoyed by it, because it's not something that should be in the conversation.
And I think here's my thing. You have a GM that saw the same things we saw. The one thing that I give Chicago credit on, the Caleb versus Justin debate, I think got a little crazy this offseason. It got a little personal, a little too personal at times with some of the people on Twitter. A little personal.
Really? People took it personally that their quarterback couldn't play?
Yeah, I mean, a little personal. But I think
here's... Did they watch the games?
I mean, listen, you know
how I feel. Did they look at the stat sheet?
You know how I feel about them.
How did they consume this, if they're not looking at the stats and they're not watching the games, why do they think he is so great? Is it the three highlights from 2 years ago where he's running wild?
No, I think here's your thing. You realize that your quarterback wasn't put in a great position to succeed. Now, I think he's being sent to be in a great position to succeed. I think that you also realize that Ryan Poles saw that as well, because he fired everybody in the room that had anything to do with developing this young quarterback and said, you will never get your hands on my next quarterback. Now, he kept Matt Eberflus because he likes the culture that's being built up, but he doesn't believe that there was a position to succeed for the quarterback here. Neither did your wide receivers, neither did your running backs. Like, everybody talked about it in that building, and they all called out the play caller. On top of that, though, I do believe that maybe there's something to be said about the timeline and not feeling like your quarterback gave you enough to succeed. Yeah. Because on the flip side of that, he also moved on from the quarterback. So I think you got have a GM that sees the same things that both sides in Chicago see. You have a GM that sees, listen, it just wasn't good enough here, and I have this timeline to open up that I can make it even better, and I've put a team on the field that should be able to do that. I think when you have that at the helm and that realization internally that we usually don't get from the people that have been at the top, you're in such a better situation because the leadership at the top sees what you see.
Yeah, and it's not a finished roster, right? No. Like, this isn't a finished product. They haven't made the playoffs. There's a lot that this team needs to accomplish, but I think you're right on. I think the way that this is angling and how Poles has put this together, I have faith in that this will get accomplished. This team will get to the playoffs. This team will hopefully be good for quite some time. It's Chris Black. It's Pat the Designer. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah. ESPN Chicago.